This second presentation is less theoretical. So it's dealing with the well-known experience in using BT cotton in South Africa. This contribution has resulted from a collaborative research between WeCRAD and the University of Pretoria in South Africa, and it has implied the conduct of some field works during the 2002 and 2003 campaigns through the conduct of a specific survey in during this season, which was very bad one from the climatic perspective. So likely the economic results should not be extrapolated through what I'm presenting this time. I'm going to show you what cotton production is in South Africa about 10 years after adopting BT cotton. I will share with you my analysis of the main results deriving from previous assessment studies, and I will underline what are the unfavorable factors to cotton production in South Africa. This chart summarizes what cotton production is today in South Africa. What we can say is that the adoption of BT cotton has not made cotton production in this country far much better than before. The decline still is still continuing. This table gives you an idea of the low level of cotton production and the number of small holders, I should say black small holders. They were commonly around 3,000, and the figure has fluctuated a lot and has decreased a lot as a consequence of institutional turmoil during these years. Small holders represent only a tiny share of the total production, as it is shown here, except for the last 2 years, not because they are doing so much better, but it's because the total national production has decreased a lot as a consequence of the abundance of cotton by the white commercial farmers who have the opportunities or the capabilities of shifting to alternative crops. Nevertheless, the yield, the seed cotton yield, has increased from less, globally speaking, in South Africa, has increased from less than 400 kg of seed cotton per hectare to more than 500 kg. This is the consequence of a higher share of irrigated production, whose potential, you know, is far much higher. Now, according to previous assessments of the BT cotton use, you can observe that the relative gain in seed cotton yield could be quite important because the initial yield level was so much low, and in absolute terms, the gain was about 200 or 250 kgs of seed cotton. And if we refer to other countries, we observe that it's clear that the relative gain is far much lower for gain in absolute terms, which could be far much higher. For instance, in Mexico sometimes, or even in China in some places. From the net margin perspective, the same observation applies. Relative gain could be very important for only about a gain of less than $100 per hectare. And you must know that $100 is, roughly speaking, the amount of the monthly pension being given to an elderly person in South Africa. So after growing cotton for one season, the net margin gain is about, is less that these, that the elderly person pension that people are obtaining in South Africa. This is something that has been seldom emphasized. We are dealing with a country with a low intensive production mode, and therefore very low level use of inputs. And we observe that even before using BT cotton, the seed cost does represent a significant share of the total cash expenses. And after shifting to BT cotton, this share has increased really a lot, up to 80%. And since that seed cost is an expense to be engaged early in the season, this is opposite to the risk aversion of resource poor farmers as we have in Africa. So this is a kind of inconsistency between the type of technology between being introduced and the farmers' resources. With reference to other countries, we observe that, of course, the share of the seed cost is far much lower in other countries. Even after the adoption of BT cotton, except the case of India, as it is shown here. So now I shift to the set of unfavorable factors impacting negatively on cotton production in South Africa. It would take too long to elaborate about the evolution of the institutional framework. Just let's say that there was total control since 1974. Then in 1995, there was a shift to liberalization. The cotton board was dismantled, and this has conducted to the prevailing of one private monopsony. There was a very short period of duopoly with the competition between two private companies. And today, since 2003, smallholders can only turn themselves to one unique private company. And this company has decided since 3 years now to shift to irrigation scheme. And therefore, only a very small number of smallholders who can get into the irrigation scheme could get any service or input supply in producing cotton, and therefore the large majority of farmers who are out of the scheme are left alone. The second factor is the specificity of agriculture in South Africa, which is related to the specific history of this country. Agriculture does lack attractiveness, and I've heard that it is also the case now in the United States somehow. But the fact is, through the survey we conducted, farms may have an average about 1,000 of people just to cultivate an about 7 hectares of available land. But actually people are growing on 1/3 of these land because they are in short of labor, for the reasons that most members of the farms do not want to get involved in field works. Very shortly, these are economic results of using BT cotton in a very unfavorable year from the climatic perspective. Because it did not rain so much, pest pressure was low, and therefore the saving in sprays was not so much significant. The same for the saving in insecticide cost. The yield differential between BT cotton and non-BT cotton was not so much important and not significant because of the variation of the variance we observe. And in terms of net margin, the differential is quite low. So for that year, clearly, using BT cotton was not so much profitable. Now let me conclude by saying that South Africa is not really an example of BT cotton success, in spite of what has been said by many people. It is nevertheless a good illustration of smallholders' adoption of BT cotton, at least at a tiny scale. And this is a good example that smallholders can feel interest for using BT cotton, and that BT cotton could be effective, at least in the short run. South Africa provides an indication of what the impact of BT cotton could be in the low-yield country. Relative gain in yields in net margins could be important, but in absolute terms, they are not so much important. But the financial risk associated to using BT cotton risk could be too much high. In South Africa, there are no favorable conditions in growing cotton, and furthermore, to me, in using BT cotton, for the reason I elaborated during my presentation. And we realize that in this country, there are many issues to be addressed beyond the mere technical scope. And I believe that a technological solution cannot suffice and remain useless to solve institutional or organizational issues. And furthermore, I suspect that there is an undesired effect of excessively shedding light on the use of BT cotton in South Africa, because this behavior has diverted the attention from many other issues that should be and that could be addressed in the country. Thank you for attention.